Deoxyribonucleic acid, also known as DNA. Next picture there. I'm sure you've seen this kind of picture, right? DNA picture. This DNA is a nucleic acid that contains a generic instruction used in the development and the functioning of all non-living organisms, with the exception of RNA viruses. The main role of DNA molecule is long-term storage of information. DNA is often compared to the set blueprint or the recipe or code, since it contains the instruction needed to construct other components of the cells, such as the protein and RNA molecules. The DNA segment that carries this genetic information are called genes. I'm sure you know that. But other DNA sequences have the structural purposes or are involved in regulating the use of this genetic information. By now, you guys feel so smart, right? With this information. I really don't know what I was reading. I just did the research and it was the DNA, and this is what it came up. But by reading this, I can kind of summarize that DNA contains enough information for individual people. That means that our parents' DNA will be carried into our DNA. So there is a similarity between parents and the children. That's why the people use a DNA test to find out whether the person is the parents or the children, which one is correct. And that's known as a paternal test. So what about our spiritual DNA, if you will? Spiritual DNA. Is there any test that we can take to find out who our spiritual daddy is? Yeah, I'm sure you heard the word, who's your daddy? Okay, there's a double meaning to it. But how do we know Father in heaven is our father? We are going to confront the people, we are going to meet the group of people who say that they are the children of God, but not in reality. You might remember a friend who used to practically live in your home from the childhood friend. He used to live there, or she used to live at your home, eat out of your parents' refrigerator, and he went wherever you went and practically stayed there all the time, play with you all the time. But at the end of the day, your father told that child, now you can go home. Why would he say that? He or she stayed there most of the time. Because that girl or boy is not his child. The portion of the scripture we are going to cover this morning from John chapter 8, 37 through 47 contains the word Father 9 times. We're going to clearly make a distinction whether child of God, where you are child of God or child of devil. Before we go any further, we must set a premise regarding the identity of the devil. Throughout the devil is a very real spiritual being and described in many places. He's also known as a Satan, destroyer, the accuser of the brethren, and the dragon, and the old serpent, deceiver, and many other descriptive names. Let me say this very clearly to you. He is not the arch enemy of God. He's not in the competition. He's not in the same league. If you must compare, he would be MVP of the major league, and devil would be infant trying to play dodgeball. He cannot even do it. There's no comparison. He's not all-powerful. He's not all-knowing. He cannot be everywhere like our God is. He's nothing more than a creature who went against God. He knows that his time is limited. He's going to be destroyed and face eternal death. In the meanwhile, he's doing everything he can to hurt the heart of God because he knows how much loves humans. So he's dragging the human down to hell with him as many as he can. According to Barna Group, this is a research group, from their nationwide survey that happened in April 10, 2009, 40% of 1,871 self-described Christians. So this can be a wide variety. I'm not talking about born-again Christian, rather self-described Christians. That covers about 95% of American people. Strongly agree that Satan is not a living being, but is a symbol of evil. 40%. And the 19% somewhat agree with them. However, the minority of people who respond to this survey indicate that they believe Satan is real, and they are disagreeing with other people's statement. They are only 26%. And somewhat the 9% of people are somewhat disagree. Remainder, the 8%, they are not quite sure how to answer. In other words, 3/4 of the people do not know the true identity of the devil. And devil likes it that way. He doesn't want his identity be revealed. Devil wants you to think that he's nothing more than a little guy in the tight red jumpsuit with a little horn sticking out on his forehead with a goatee running around with a pitchfork in his hand, sitting on somebody's shoulder, whispering something bad into the ear so that person will do the mischief. Jesus is going to teach us this morning the devil and his followers who thought they were the children of God, but in reality, they are nothing more than the children of the devil. I believe that this is a rather sobering and rude awakening for the many people around the world, especially to the believers, to those who consider themselves Christians. And one of them, or some of them, might be sitting in here. Don't look around because you cannot tell the difference from outside. Let's stop here and let's pray. Heavenly Father, indeed, we are children of disobedience and children of wrath. We are bound by our own sin and facing eternal death. But you choose to extend your mercy and grace to us that we might have eternal life in you. You saved our lives and you give us a blessing beyond measure. Father, we praise you for your grace, for your loving kindness. We're asking you to speak to our hearts, to every one who are in this room. You tell us that we should search our heart, know exactly where we're standing, whether we are child of God or child of devil, or child of the lost one. Father, we also pray for the President Obama, for his salvation. Whatever it takes for you to get his attention, do so, Lord. And we also pray for our troops who are in harm's way, especially in Afghanistan, Iraq, or wherever. I think of the 7 soldiers who got killed a few days ago. And we pray for their family members. We're asking you to protect our soldiers, and you're willing, you bring them back to us, to their home, to their families, safe and sound. We also pray for our law enforcement officers and the firefighters, especially the one who attends our church. We are asking you to watch over them, protect them, and keep them safe. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 37 of chapter 8. I know that you are Abraham's descendant. Would you please note the word that Jesus used, descendant? If you have a different version, it might be saying different thing. But I want you to note, compare the difference between that and the next one I'm going to tell you. But you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. Verse 39, they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's, what? Children, you would do the works of Abraham, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth which I heard from you, from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deed of your father. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Let's stop there. The Jews claim that Abraham is their father, but Jesus made a careful distinction between Abraham's descendant in verse 37, which is a physical descendant, and Abraham's children in verse 39, which is a spiritual descendant, through one's personal faith. These Jewish leaders who claimed to belong to Abraham were nothing but the children of anything but the children of Abraham. For one thing, they wanted to kill Jesus. Abraham was the friend of God. He was the friend of God and the fellowship with him in love. Abraham listened to God's truth and obeyed, while these religious leaders disobeyed the truth from Jesus. So keep your finger in John and go to the book of James. James chapter 2, please. Verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. There is a title, the friend of God is Abraham. There is a saying, the apple does not fall far from the tree. I'm sure you heard that, right? Apple does not fall from the tree. If God is your father and you share his divine nature, but if the Satan is your father, he would share his evil nature with you. Now, this time go to 2 Peter. So turn to right from the James, 1 Peter and 2 Peter. Verse 1, chapter 1. Simon Peter, bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like a precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partaker of the divine nature. There it is. Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world through lust. Our Lord did not say that every lost sinners are the children of devil. But they are certainly the children of disobedience and wrath, which is a sin. And their lives are completely, whether they like to admit it or not, their lives are completely controlled by Satan without them knowing. Why do I say that without them knowing? Where do I find the biblical ground? Go to Ephesians chapter 2, please. Ephesians is right after Galatians in the New Testament and right before Philippians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you, he made alive who were dead in the trespasses and the sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now walks in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conduct ourselves in the lust of our flesh, in fulfilling the desire of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the other. You know, the greatest skill of the devil. What is the greatest skill of the devil? In my opinion, it's a subtle deception. Subtle deception is to make the unbelievers think that they are the master of their own destiny and the captain of their own ships. But if the truth be known, the unbelievers are controlled by Satan himself and his demonic powers. In protest, some people would say, some unbelievers would say, well, that's not true. I believe in God. I'm almost saved. Really? Wow. Let me ask you this. Would you say to the pregnant woman, well, you're almost pregnant? Either she is pregnant or she is not. Either you're saved, you're born again, or you're not born again. There's no such a thing as almost born again. These Jewish religious rulers who were arguing with Jesus majored in religion. They were the professional religious people. Professional. And though they were the descendants of a great patriarch Abraham, and they were resident textual and theological experts in the law of God, they did not know him. They may knew the laws by each letters, but they did not know the giver of the law. In other words, the pedigree, proximity, and the credential by other men doesn't mean anything and does not make a person to be the true follower of God. Are you with me on that? Let me say one more time. Pedigree, proximity, and my mind went blank. Credential from the other people does not make that person to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. There were people who were upset that because I did not have one of those fancy degrees from the seminary. You know, I could get that thing for $125 from the internet if I want to. I was talking with another Christian who, as a matter of fact, his name is Alex. He's heading out to Brazil, and we are supporting him. He's heading for the children's ministry. And he's going to be ordained. So I said, Alex, I'm going to give you a piece of advice. He said, sure, please. He said, don't let that ordination of being a pastor get into your head. That ordination is nothing more than a human acknowledgement of God's call. Okay? Do you understand what I said? A group of people do not make a person to be a pastor. You have to get that thing in your head. Seminary professors does not make a person to be a pastor. What do I mean? If God did not call that man to be a pastor, that it doesn't matter. You can have all the seminary students, professors around the world can acknowledge him as a pastor. He is not a pastor in God's mind. Unless God called him, that person is nothing. Psalmist said, unless the Lord build a house, the builder's labor is in vain. Unless the Lord watch over the city, the watchman's labor is in vain. Without God's call, doesn't mean a thing. Because these people, these religious rulers, did not have a call of God, they were not with God, these people were nothing more than these pretenders. Go to John chapter 1, verse 12, our memory verse, please. John chapter 1, 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Did you notice how the God denied any connection with the human effort? We are not born again because of what we have, what we can accomplish, or proximity, or pedigree, or credential, by the will of God. Even though they were genetically related with Abraham, they were miles, miles apart from Abraham spiritually. Let's go down to verse 42, please. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, and for I proceed forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil." Good way of making a friend. "And the desire of your father you want to do. And he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Verse 45. "But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convict me of sin?" They could not, because he's sinless, they could not find anything against him. "And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's word, therefore you do not fear, because you are not of God." At the beginning, I talked about the paternity test that we are going to do in this study. So let's do the spiritual paternity test to find out who our spiritual daddy is, either God or the devil. To do that, we need to set up the premises or the standard, what you want, measurement, so we can compare what we do with what they do. I find the four categories. So number one is a God. According to what we just read from verse 37 to verse 47, I find this: God speaks the truth in verse 40. You agree? God speaks the truth. But in comparison with the God, the devil does different things. Number one, he is a murderer from the beginning, verse 44. And you may wonder, why do you call him murderer? Who did he kill? He may not kill people with his own hand, but he killed people in second hand by coaching them. Still, he does that way. Remember in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve took the forbidden fruit and became disobedient to God, what did they experience? All of a sudden, they realized they were naked and they have the knowledge of good and evil. And what did God say? They will die. It allowed them this disobedience by Satan, encouraging them to have spiritual and physical death. You with me? And then there is a first murder happened. By whom? Cain. Against his own brother, Abel. Second thing I find, he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him, mentioned in verse 44. Third thing I find is devil is a liar and the father of it. Again, same verse. Now the third category is the children of God. Children of God do and speak what the God the Father wants according to word, the Bible, in verse 38. They love Jesus, in verse 42. They hear God's word and obey, verse 47. You with me on this so far? Okay. Fourth category is the children of the devil. They sought to kill, and Jesus literally, verse 47. 37. Now that their spiritual descendant here in America still do the same thing socially by the ACLU. How many of you guys know who the ACLU lawyers are? American Civil Liberty Union lawyers. It sounds like a very nice group of people. They are anything but group of good people. They are anti-Christian. ACLU, the one who sued the schools if they ever have a prayer, if they have any Christian songs played, they will sue them. And religiously, by the liberal religious people. By the way, they no longer call themselves liberal religious people. They call themselves progressive Christians. Have you ever heard that word? Progressive. Even the Washington, D.C., they don't call themselves liberal because the liberal carries such a bad name. So they changed the name. It's like a global warming. It was not happening, so they changed to global climate change. Climate change to what? Last Sunday and Monday, we were in New York. We were walking around doing stupid tourist thing. As we walked out from the Penn Station, we were staying in New Jersey, so we went to the transit train. We got out from the Madison Square Garden station. As soon as I walked out, I saw the sign by the Deutsche Bank, how the global warming is happening. I looked at it. Wonder that number was keep on going up when they had a bitter winter season. Anyway, they call themselves a progressive Christian. By the way, this I'm gonna let you want to have a good laugh. Go to Google and type the progressive Christian, okay? And first thing you will see is progressivechristian.org. Check out their statement of faith. It's a fun to read that funny joke. You know what it is? It's a new rapping with the same old demonic content. Same old thing. Children of the devil have no place for Jesus' word in their heart, verse 37, and they do what the devil wants them to do, verse 38. And they do not listen to God's word and do not obey. Verse 43 and 47. This means that the Jewish rulers were wearing a religious robe that belongs to the holy priest, but were far from God and made an alliance with the devil. So now, here's the five questions I'm going to ask you yourself to find out whether you have God as a spiritual daddy or devil as your spiritual daddy. Number one, are you a child of God or a child of devil? I hardly can find anybody who will say I'm a child of devil. Question number two, which one, God or the devil, do you your action and the thought point to? Number three, do you have a place in your heart for God's word? Many people will say, yeah, I read the Bible once in a while when the moon becomes blue. Folks, our word, the Bible needs to be read every day, not once in a blue moon. Fourth question, do you love Jesus with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul? Number five, can you really claim that you're a child of God if you do not have a desire to love Jesus? Listen, please, don't ever, ever think that you're a child of God because you have a Christian heritage. I said this before and I was repeated many more times, pedigree and credential and proximity does not make you to be the follower of Jesus Christ. One of the telltale signs of the person is truly following God and God is his Heavenly Father is that he or she loves his son Jesus. If you are truly born again Christian, you have a desire to spend time with Jesus through the Word of God, through the Bible. And you want to talk to him through your prayer. And you want to do the things to please him. Our obedience and disobedience to the Word of God only proves our true relationship with Jesus. You with me on that? Our obedience and disobedience to the Word of God proves our relationship with him. I'm not talking about occasional lapse because of our sinful nature. But when it's become consistent and willful disobedience to the Lord by ignoring the word, that's a different story. Go back to the verse 44, please, in chapter 8. You are of your father, the devil, and the desire of your father you want to do. He is a murderer from the beginning, does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own. There is a word that resources. In New King James Version, it's in italic. For he is a liar and the father of it. As I mentioned before, when it's italic, that means that it was added by the translator for our understanding. I became a Christian when it was 1987. I was using NIV, New International Version. By the way, when you select NIV, you need to be careful. What am I talking about? Zondervan is controlled by the progressive Christians. The original version of the NIV is good. But the later version is a politically correct version, they say. So because many places in the Bible says that it just says men, M-E-N, instead of people. So they change all of that and try to be gender friendly. Now they came up with another version. And they came up with another version talking about beasts and animals. We don't want to call it id, so we call it animal or the whatever. They want to go extra mile. I thought, okay, time to chuck the NIV. I'm talking about newer version. However, I like the NIV's, old NIV's rendering in the 84. I put it up here. Would you put that up? Thank you. You belong to your father, devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He is a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him. He is a lie. When he lies, he speaks. I like this way. It's the way he said. His native language, for he's a liar, and he is the father of all, a father of lies. When Jews lived in the world of lies and the distortion and falseness, it makes sense to me. The truth was a foreign language to them, and their native language was lies. I'm sure you've known a few pathological liars. To them, as soon as they open their mouth, there's a lie just flow through. To them, it's a native language. The nation of Israel has a long history of the rejecting God's inviting hands. Think about the prophet like Isaiah and Jeremiah. They preached to the people of Israel, and the people heard them and completely ignored them. The Jewish religious rulers are merely demonstrating the truth of the adage, like father and like son. Go to the Isaiah chapter 30, please. Isaiah 30, verse 9. And this is rebellious people, lying children, children who will not hear the law of the Lord. Verse 10, who say to the seers, that is the prophets, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things, prophesy deceit. Can you believe this? Do you think the people now are different? No. Why do you think we have church that is talk about the love of God all the time, but not talk about the holiness of God? Why do you think many people who come to our church come here once and then they don't come back? Is it because they cannot understand me? No, they can understand me very well. They don't want to hear the truth that comes straight. Somehow these people thought if they can just get rid of the prophet, they would not have to hear from God. So they did. According to Jewish history, they cut. They saw this prophet Isaiah in half. You can say he was totally beside himself at the end. Okay, that's a sick joke. Some of you might be a child of the devil. And you may say, that's an insult. Let me make it clear this way. If you think that you're going to go to heaven because your heritage, because this, because of that, in the meanwhile, the Word of God says, unless you are born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Who is right? You or Jesus? Am I making sense to you? Yes, I'm drawing the line clearly. God is speaking to you right now. If you are not born again Christian, let me say, make it this. You will not go to heaven. Either you're a child of God or you're a child of devil. And if you're not a child of devil, you're a child of wrath and disobedience, who is controlled by the Satan. What are you going to be? You don't have to stay in that position. You can jump the ship and God will catch you. God will rescue you from that sinking ship. God wants you to be His child. As many as received Him, He gave them the right to become the children of God. Remember what God said. God so loved the world. He loved you so much that He gave His Son. We, a born-again Christian, once we thought that was stupidity. Why do I want to be born-again Christian? When my wife talked about the late planet Earth by Hal Lindsey, and then she told me about the end of the Earth coming, I laughed at her because I was ignorant. I ridiculed her. You were in the same boat. You might be in the same boat. I really believe that Harold Camping was... You guys know who the Harold Camping was. He claimed that May 21st was the rapture going to happen. And of course, May 1st, 21st came and gone. And we are still here. And now he's saying that, well, it was not literal, it was spiritual. That's what we call a backpedaling. Beep, 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 beep. Now he says it's October 21st. And I thought, when are you going to stop? How about trying to stop while you're ahead? He's already in the negative, in deficit. Why he keep on talking? But the rapture is coming. If the rapture happens right now, do you have absolute assurance that you are going to go to heaven? I do. Not because I'm a pastor, not because I'm a good Christian, not because I'm a good guy, not because of whatever you can fill in. I can tell you this much. Because I'm a wretched sinner who was forgiven by grace of God. Nothing more, nothing less. Folks, if you are not forgiven by God, If you are not a child of God, you will be left behind. This is not some Harold Camping's idea. This is what came from the Word of God that has a final authority and an absolute truth. I have two conclusions for you. Pedigree, proximity, and credentials from other men do not make a person to be a true follower of God. Second conclusion is our obedience and disobedience to the Word of God only proves our true relationship with Jesus. I'm going to ask you to bow your head, close your eyes. If you don't know Jesus, as I mentioned, if you are not a born-again Christian, you don't go to heaven. That's not what I said. That's what the Bible says. That's what the truth of God says. I don't want you to go to hell. God does not want you to go to hell. So He's giving you another opportunity to accept Him, that you may become the child of God. So if you like to be a child of God, then you may have eternal life, you may have a hope in Him, and you may have His love, that everlasting love. All you have to do is, Jesus, come into my heart. As an expression of that commitment, would you please raise your hand and let me know that you made that commitment? Do it now. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? All right, including that lady, all of you to repeat after me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I know I'm a sinner.
I know I'm a sinner.
I realize that my sin has separated me from you.
I realize that my sin separated me from you.
But I turn away from my sin.
Turn away from my sin.
I believe that Jesus died for my sin.
I believe that Jesus died for my sin.
And rose again from the dead.
Rose again from the dead.
So I ask you to be my Savior and my Lord.
So I ask you to be my Savior and Lord.
Please come into my heart.
Please come into my heart.
I pray this in Jesus' name.
I pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Welcome to the family of God.